Teaching ELL students is a privilege and a joy. Is it easy? No way. But with the right support, you can feel empowered to tackle each day with ease and confidence. I'm your host, Beth Boucher, founder of Inspiring Young Learners. With over 10 years of teaching both nationally and internationally, I know what it takes to ensure that your ELL students have what they need to thrive today, tomorrow, and for life. I'm on a mission to empower you to equip your English language learners. Welcome to Equipping ELLs. Let's get to today's episode. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Equipping ELLs podcast. We are in a series about collaboration and co-teaching, and today I want to share with you five reasons co-teaching might just feel really hard sometimes. Because I know it can feel frustrating when your administration wants you to co-teach and everyone shares about how co-teaching is so necessary. Don't do push out anymore. Don't, you know, all these other things about why you have to be doing co-teaching. But I think sometimes it's really important to just pause and share. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes co-teaching doesn't go well. Sometimes that relationship with that teacher isn't easy. And so if that's how you're feeling right now, maybe you've tried and attempted and advocated for co-teaching this year and you really want to work together and it's not happening, then this episode's for you. Because when we know and can kind of just sit and think, yeah, that is why it can be difficult sometimes, and hear and affirm in that, that it can help us to grow and move forward and help to change so that we can really successfully co-teach moving forward in the future. So let's talk about five different reasons that co-teaching can just feel really difficult sometimes. The first reason is that it's hard to teach with someone when you're not speaking the same language. If we look at statistics, we see that out of all the teachers in the U.S., only 1% are certified in teaching ESL. That means 99% of the teachers right now do not have the background. They don't have the training, the education of working with English language learners. And so it's really difficult to begin a co-teaching relationship when you're not speaking the same language, when you're talking about language levels and language objectives and WIDA levels and access test scores and how to scaffold. And those words to them might feel like a completely different language. And so that's one of the reasons that co-teaching really can just feel difficult when you're not speaking the same language. Another big reason, I think this is one of the biggest reasons, is just the lack of planning time. Effective co-teaching really requires ample planning time for both teachers to discuss and coordinate lesson plans, strategies, and assessments, for you to come in with your expertise and to share ways they can scaffold the content they're teaching, for them to share their expertise of that grade level of the content, and to work together to create solid lesson plans that you both are using your strengths in those lessons. Limited planning time can really hinder that crucial planning piece. And so it really makes it difficult to deliver cohesive instructions. It really ends up being where you're just coming in and being that fly on the wall or working with a few students and not really utilizing co-teaching and using the impact for what it's meant to be. So I want to challenge you and encourage you, if your administration is saying, we are only doing co-teaching and you must do co-teaching, I want you to stand up and advocate for that planning time so that your co-teaching can not feel as difficult as it might be feeling after this year. Something else that makes co-teaching feel sometimes really difficult is just differing expectations. Sometimes homeroom teachers and ELL teachers might have different expectations for student outcomes, for pacing of lessons, for content depth. I know some of you right now might have that situation that popped into your mind of a teacher who was really upset about a student who's not making progress, and you find they're not doing anything to help that student and support them in their language development. So sometimes those differing expectations really can put a wedge in the co-teaching because you're just really not on the same page of the support that you bring into the classroom and the support that your students need in order to be successful. And so it can sometimes create tension. I've been in those situations where you can feel that the teacher does not want me in the classroom. They don't agree with how I'm, you know, approaching the student, how I'm giving the support. And it can sometimes make it difficult and challenging to find a middle ground that serves all students' needs. And again, that goes back to if they don't have that education, if they don't have that understanding of how to approach students who are language learners, then the expectations tend to be, you know, the same as a monolingual peer in that grade level. And so that's where a lot of frustration can happen. And that's where a lot of times it's on you as the ESL teacher to really educate and help to soften them to see the power behind meeting that student where they're at and giving them the scaffolds that they need and how that will help the outcomes increase. And they will learn in both the content and the language when we do that. But I know that sometimes as the ESL teacher, that can feel really frustrating when you know what your students need and the homeroom teacher is not in agreement with that. Another area that can make co-teaching really difficult is different classroom management strategies and styles. As you push in every classroom you enter, you know the teacher who, you know, is way more kinesthetic and moves around and loves a loud classroom. And you know the teacher next door that wants it to be quiet and very orderly and is very strict in the way that they approach learning. And so it's hard as the teacher who's pushing in and co-teaching alongside different teacher styles and classroom management strategies and different philosophies of education that you have to kind of be a chameleon to adjust how you go into each classroom and work with that teacher. And then when we look at ourselves and know our teaching philosophy and what our convictions are and our classroom management styles, there's a lot that's happening in that co-teaching relationship. And so I know that that can feel difficult as you're the one that's pushing in and feeling like each classroom you have to readjust the way that you approach the lesson, the teacher, the style. But it is a part of successful co-teaching, being able to read the room, to understand this teacher really operates in this way. And in order to successfully connect and build a relationship with this teacher so that our co-teaching can work, I might have to not be as loud or maybe not move as much as I usually would in a lesson. But as you build that relationship, as they see respect for their style of the in the classroom, the hope is that they will then also come humbly to you and want to know what you have to bring into the classroom and allow you to maybe change some of the ways that they operate in the classroom, at least when you're in there for that lesson. So I know that that can feel frustrating when it's, you know, there's so many different styles of classrooms that you are entering into and having to work with. But if you can approach it in a way where you are learning and you are respectful and you desire to build that relationship with co-teaching, then you will see over time how that relationship will grow when you approach it in that way. I've had experiences where I've walked in and the style of the teacher really was not my style, and it didn't work. We didn't get along. There's a lot of tension and conflict in that situation. And so I would just, you know, end up going to the classroom where the teacher and I really did get along and we really worked well together. And so it's knowing when it's time to say, okay, this teacher really is not interested in working with me, and finding those teachers who are and really investing your time there, but also approaching those teachers who don't want to work with you or just maybe are very different from your style with that attitude to learn, with a curiosity of seeing how you can go in and learn from them. And maybe over time, that relationship will soften and you'll have an opportunity to go in and work with them and collaborate with them. Our last way that co-teaching can just sometimes feel really difficult is by resource constraints. We know that what's happening, there's so many different resource constraints that are happening right now. It might be limited resources. It might be, you know, things such as classroom space or teaching materials or technology. All of those things definitely play a role in how they can complicate co-teaching arrangements. So if you're just feeling frustrated about this year and, you know, maybe it wasn't successful and you tried to co-teach, think about those factors. Maybe the classroom space just really wasn't set up to successfully co-teach. Maybe the lack of technology really wasn't set up for that way. So just think about how those constraints also impacted that relationship and that collaboration that you tried to attempt to do this year, because that adds a big part into successfully co-teaching or it being really frustrating. Now, there are a ton more frustrations that happen with co-teaching, but what I want you to take away from this is there are reasons that it's difficult. There are reasons that it's frustrating, but there's also a lot of research showing that it is really powerful for our ELL students when that collaboration happens between our ELL experts and our homeroom experts. When you work together, that is where the power happens, and that's where our students do have more success. So think about and reflect on your frustrations that you had this year when it came to collaborating with the homeroom teachers. Maybe give yourself 10 minutes and make a list of what those frustrations were. And then take one thing that you can do, maybe in the next month or looking at next year already, and saying, okay, you know what? The planning time. This was a huge frustration of mine. This caused a lot of, you know, this just didn't make this year successful in any way. So how can I advocate now for this next year? Because we know that this is so important to collaboration and we need this. Start to take one small step to take one of your frustrations and turn it into action, so that next year you can look back and say, hey, planning wasn't a frustration this year. And we actually co-taught really well because we were given a 1 hour plan time a week that changed the way that we planned. Or maybe you do have a plan time, but you're not using it well. Maybe you're not given a voice during that plan time to share, you know, how can we create or turn these content objectives into language objectives? Or how can I scaffold this activity that I'm doing? Or checking in and modeling that, or seeing, are they scaffolding these activities? All of those things can happen during that planning time. So maybe you do have the planning time, but your action step is going to be to use that planning time in a much more purposeful way, so that you're making sure you're both bringing in your expertise and you're both planning lessons that are really impactful for your ELL students. So that's your challenge for today. Take your frustrations. Maybe it's your different teaching styles or your lack of planning time or that you're not speaking the same language. If that's it, maybe think of, you know, how can I work on helping other teachers in the building learn more about empowering their English language learners? How can they learn those first steps to take when they have a newcomer? What can we do to help educate the whole staff so that we're all speaking the same language? If you do that, then come next year, it is going to be much easier to collaborate and co-teach when everyone's on the same page and speaking the same language. So take your frustration, write out your list, take one of them, and turn it into an action item of what you're going to do so that that frustration is not going to happen to you next year. Now, stay tuned for next week's episode where I'm going to be sharing all about 6 ways that all teachers can become language teachers. So if that's one of your frustrations that you're not on the same page, you're not speaking the same language, tune into next week and it might be one that you'll want to share out with other teachers in your building to help begin to build that common language and support of your English language learners. If you enjoyed this episode and if you share our mission of empowering educators to equip their English language learners, we would absolutely love if you could leave a review on wherever you're listening to this podcast. When you leave a review, it helps other teachers find our podcast and helps them grow and learn in how they show up to empower their English language learners. Thank you for joining me in today's episode. All links and resources mentioned can be found in the show notes. If you're looking for even more support and done-for-you resources created specifically for the needs of ELLs, head to inspiringyounglearners.com. I'll catch you here next week. Until then, take that next step to keep equipping your ELLs.